right, Kevin Barker. Well, that's a little more of what you'd like to see from a team after what we saw in the first game of this two-game series, the Jays walking it off, Alejandro Kirk walking it off, a 2-1 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. Lots to talk about. Vladdy stealing a base to set that up. Jose Berríos, I would suggest maybe one of his best starts in the past couple of years.
Absolutely.
But let's start with Alejandro Kirk. And Alejandro Kirk's walk-off. Walk me through that at-bat. He's facing Jordan Romano, a guy he knows well, former Blue Jays closer. He knows, or it was obvious tonight, Jordan Romano was throwing 98 easy. I mean, that might be the easiest feel that we've seen from Jordan in a long time. But walk me through that at-bat.
Yeah, look, I don't like the scouting report against Kirky. You know, obviously, we've seen him hammer the elevated fastball. Like, no matter how hard you're throwing it, he seems to be able to get barrel to ball. I would just think you'd want to go down with slider and up with the elevated fastball, or away with the fastball. He didn't, right? I mean, he got to 0-2. He battled for five more pitches. He's got the seventh pitch. You know, it is a game of inches, right? He's trying to think, go up. He missed about an inch and a half. He missed an inch and a half to a guy who's getting better rotation, who's flattened out that barrel. You know, I don't want to say his bat looked quicker, but I do think he's rotating a little bit better, which is, you know, exactly what the doctor ordered. So, yeah, I mean, sort of everything came to a head there. It's sort of how you win games at home, right, against really good teams. You get really good starting pitching. You have your bullpen come in and shut it down and give the lineup a chance. You know, Vladdy's sort of been struggling. You know, it's the first time in a long time, if ever, that I've seen Vladdy selling out to hit the fastball. I was in the sort of camp that I don't think he ever has to do that. It just seems to me like something's going on mechanically, mentally, physically. Maybe he's a little tired. Just looks like the bat might be a little slower. I mean, he started with batting gloves. He didn't have them on at the end of the game. It's very hard.
That is a weird thing to do.
It is. Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's a different feel. I know sometimes guys do that. I never could do that. It hurt my hands. But I think some guys do it just to want to feel the barrel. They want to sort of basically play pepper with the ball, and that's kind of what he did, right? I mean, he got it down a little sooner, just trying to basically put it in play to the big part of the field. It sort of worked out, and Romano's not very good at holding runners on. You know that. That's a good scouting report. You got a good first base coach who's prepared for that. You send a dude, you get his first steal of the season. So, yeah, after the way yesterday looked, you needed one of your better pitchers to come in and dominate. That's exactly what happened. Again, I've been saying this forever. That's why you pitch in. It opens up the entire plate, allows you to get away with things. Sort of Jose Berríos was just, and I said this today, right? Occasionally you got to make that plate a little wider. You know, it's 17 inches. You got to work it and sort of turn it into getting enough called strikes early to force that plate to be 18, 19, 20 inches. And I'm with you. That might be the best start we've seen Jose have, I don't know, in forever.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590 is the text line. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. A winning edition, the Jays walking off the Philadelphia Phillies, walking off Jordan Romano, 2-1. The rubber match goes tomorrow at 3:07 back at the Rogers Center. Kevin, we talk a lot about Jose Berríos and his issues with left-handed hitters. And you look at this lineup tonight. I mean, this lineup should have been a nightmare for him with the type of left-handed hitting you have. Bryce Harper struck him out three times. Kyle Schwarber gives up a single, gets him looking on a called strike, gives up a ground ball out to him, strikes out Max Kepler twice. It was a really – I was going to say – I would put this in one of the top three performances we've seen from Jose in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
This is a type of lineup that should give him trouble. And I mean, he looked in command. He looked in control.
Well, a lot of the times it does, right? You know, if you can remember
13 whiffs tonight.
There you go. I mean, again, I mean, if you can remember that he had a bad start once, and I think Bassett was having a start that day, and he was walking by Berríos when he was throwing in the outfield, and they were doing, like, you know, sort of emulating what the lower half should be doing. Don't over sort of turn that. Stay, you know, on point with that. That just keeps the direction of your shoulders in the right spot, which allows you to have better feel and better command of your four-pitch mix, which is exactly what happened. It's just making that little mechanical adjustment and understanding. Stay over the rubber. You know, don't rotate too much. Allows you to throw a little bit harder. The velocity on the sinker and the four-seamer were up. You know, now he can manipulate the slurve, do what he wants. He backdoored it. He backfooted it. He 12-6'd it. It was a tougher take. I mean, it was tunneling longer because he was throwing it harder. You know, the change, he threw that a little bit more too. He added that to the mix. It was harder. It was longer tunneling. It was unpredictable. He doubled up on it a couple of times. You know, that fifth inning against Stott, 3-2, he threw it a couple of times, right? That tells you he has confidence in the location. Him and Kirky were on point when it's just, okay, I'm pushing the button. I'm setting up. Let's do it. Like, if you're going to miss, make sure you're missing where I want you to miss. I mean, it's just sort of a collection of, when you have the good tempo, you're in attack mode. You establish in against Stott. First pitch was that sinker down and in. That just sort of set the tone. You can see Stott wasn't prepared for it.
No.
Like, they like the ball out over the plate. You know, they're trying to bridge people. They want to get their arms extended. When you start establishing in there, it just sort of opens up everything else. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a collection of a bunch of everything. It's another quality start from him. I mean, he's a good pitcher. You know, is he a great pitcher? Probably not, but man alive. When he's doing these kind of things and can go sort of all over the edges of the strike zone, I just don't know how you game plan against him when you stand on the on-deck circle. You probably don't.
Yeah,
it just turns into one of these days.
It was the Bo Bichette triple that tied the game up, but without that, without Berríos doing what he did in the fifth inning with the bases loaded, the Jays are really behind the eight ball. That at-bat with Stott was huge. You know, Trey Turner comes up and lines out, but the at-bat with Stott, because we were talking a little bit off-air on Blair and Barker today about Bryson Stott. And as that inning was developing and Marsh draws the walk, I really zeroed in Stott because he's the type of hitter that is quite capable of just getting that two-run single, you know. And the way this team has been hitting this year, if that inning gets away from Jose Berríos, they're in a world of trouble.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they were had, you know, the Blue Jays, we all know, has a little bit of trouble slugging against velocity, right? I mean, you throw upwards in that mid-90s, it's going to be tough for them to get the head out. You know, the extension, the timing, you know, just hurting certain pitches at certain windows, it seems to be hard for them. And, you know, that was one of those innings. It's even the Turner at bat. You know, after he got the Stott out, sort of went with the slurve. He threw a bad one. You know, you self-correct. You do it in a hurry. You know, the slurve's an important pitch against those righties. You know, you self-correct. You throw a bad one. Next one, you throw a good one. And then that sort of sets up the sinker in, and then you get a little lazy pop out. It's called pitching, right? I mean, this is, again, we've heard Caleb say this. You've been hearing me say this for a month, right? This is why nobody that really can hit likes the ball in. Your swing almost has to be perfect all the time just to be able to square those kind of pitches up and catch them out front the way you want to always catch them out front, the damage you're trying to do against that pitch. So if you can locate in there, you can set it up the way he was doing it today. You can have that four-pitch mix. You can do it with some tempo. You got a little, you know, he's got a little vinegar in him out there. Like, he was flipping the ball in the air, basically saying, get your butt in the box. I'm going to whip you today. I mean, after the way yesterday looked, this is sort of what you needed, right? I mean, we went from not believing to now all of a sudden having no idea if the Jays are any good or not. It's like, make up your mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are what they are. They're 500 games.
Yeah.
And that's, we've talked about this series against Philadelphia, arguably the best team. And I think, the record aside, they could certainly win the World Series this year.
Top three or four. Absolutely.
Top three or four. And then you got Minnesota coming up. And if the Jays can, you know, knock on wood, it's going to be a tough order tomorrow because Jesus Luzardo has been really good. But if they can win a series against the Phillies, you know, not because we talked about the record against teams that are 500. If you can win a series against the Phillies, I mean, that is a bit of a measuring stick. It's a whole hell of a lot more of a measuring stick, frankly, than the Oakland Athletics. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk right here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. This from SN Stats, Kevin. Blue Jays' Alejandro Kirk collected his third career walk-off hit. It's the second this season. He's batting .370 with two strikes and two outs in 2025. That's third in MLB.
Yeah, I mean, what
I mean,
do you
I
like?
Think we call that clutch. We used to call that clutch.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, what do you, you know, sort of like to throw in 2025 with two strikes? The elevated heater. I mean, he seemed to, you know, be able to set the plane, get the foot down a little center. I know he's widened out a little bit. Looks like he's sort of in his legs a little bit more, which just allows him to have a stronger base, which allows him to be balanced a little bit more. If you can remember last year, right, he'd take those hacks, he'd be falling all over the plate. It's rare. I mean, he'll occasionally do that when he's trying to have a little party out front, but most of the time it's under control, it's balanced. You know, you get the barrel in the zone. It's just, you know, it's flat. It's a little bit quicker. He has a little bit better finish. Not trying to overdo it. He's trying to hit it where it's pitched and give the dude credit. I mean, when they're, you know, they can throw it like a Ferrari, he can turn it around. I mean, that's kind of nice. That's why he's hitting fourth or fifth in the lineup. Give John credit. Give the Blue Jays credit. Give Kirky credit for making some adjustment. I mean, Kirky's playing basically every day, doing the things he's doing offensively. Got to give him his kudos.
Yeah,
off to a good start.
You know, and it's interesting because the All-Star voting started today, and I think Alejandro Kirk's going to get a fair number of votes from people. It's a tough position, mind you, in the American League, but I think he's going to get a fair number of votes. And frankly, I think, you know, I'm not certain he'd be voted in, but I think that there's a chance that when the players and the managers and coaches get together to pick the reserves, I think there's a chance he goes. Now we got a ways to go here before the All-Star game is played, but he has emerged as along with Bo, I would suggest, as their two most consistent hitters right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
You know,
the selling out thing with Vladdy, that's a little confusing. Again, that's the first time I've actually seen him do it. I mean, even I think Dan said that on the telecast, right? It just looks to me like, you know, he's getting a first pitch hitter. It looked to me like he's selling out. You know, most really good borderline great hitters rarely sell out. I mean, that just tells you, I think, a little bit where he thinks his timing's at. I mean, again, the batting glove thing, you maybe not read too much into that, but it is a feel game. You know, and that'll tell you, I think he's trying to search and feel for just something that's sort of in between kind of thing, right? It's a little too out in front. It's a little either too behind, like you want it in the middle. Maybe the batting glove thing, sort of just a mindset of where playing pepper with the baseball. I'll do that until I get my timing back, and then I'll start trying to bridge people. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good story, right? This is sort of, it's the next man mentality up, right? I mean, if you're not sort of doing your thing offensively, you get on base, you steal a base against a guy who's not really good at holding runners on. You know, they're losing they lost their starting catcher who's a decent thrower. You get the backup catcher. I mean, it just sort of, everybody's doing their thing. I mean, everybody's having a little part of being three games above .500.
Yeah, and the Jays did have, they got a little bit of, I guess you could call it providence in the ninth inning as well. I mean, JT Realmuto has to leave the game taking one in the midsection.
Wow.
And then in comes Rafael Marchand, and you've got the combination of new catcher and Jordan Romano, or a catcher just in the game, and Jordan Romano, who has always had an issue with base runners. I mean,
That's
just the way it is, given his windup and given the way he goes through things. I mean, that was tailor-made. I know it's Vladdy's first steal of the year, and Vladdy wouldn't be a guy necessarily you'd think was stealing. But, you know, just credit everybody for kind of having an idea there. That was frankly, that was the right time to be aggressive. That was the perfect time to be aggressive.
Well, absolutely, right? I mean, again, Kirky's been having a good year. You've had a closer who's had some bumps in the road. I mean, I know he's been really good in May. You know, he's sort of turned the calendar over to June. Right, you're sort of, that heart rates went up. You know, we all know where Jordan pitched last year, what he's trying to do to the top of the order, not paying any attention to the dude at first. Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of what the Jays have to do offensively against some good pitching. It's probably not going to be scoring a ton of runs, right? It's just that heater, for whatever reason, whether they can't, whether it's just, you know, what they're looking for in certain counts, whether it's, you know, just the lefties that are running up there is sort of just not getting it done in those kind of situations. Whatever the reason is, when you got an opportunity, you take advantage of it. And Yeah, I mean, again, is it a miracle that they're three games above 500, or do they have them right where they want them? I don't know, Jeff.
I mean, I think they are what they are, and I think three games above 500 is a pretty accurate reflection of that. You knew it was always going to come down at some point to Hoffman against Romano. Essentially, Jordan Romano let go by the Blue Jays, and the Philadelphia Phillies signed him to not necessarily replace Jeff Hoffman, who signed with the Blue Jays, but to certainly give them a little bit of depth at the back end of their bullpen.
Yeah.
And, of course, they lose Jose Alvarado with PED suspension. So all of a sudden now Jordan Romano's got to adapt a bigger role.
Well, you got to ask yourself, if you're a Phillies fan, do you think you can win a World Series with Jordan pitching the ninth inning?
Uh-uh.
You don't think so? That's quick.
No. I mean, we've always talked about this. Jordan Romano can pitch high leverage in the back of the bullpen for just about any team in baseball. Do I want him closing the World Series? Not a chance in hell. Could he be in a team going to the World Series? Do I mind him pitching in the seventh or eighth inning? Nope. But I do not want him on the mound in the ninth inning.
That's fair.
Of a playoff game. And that's fine. You can still make good money. Absolutely. Not everybody can get out there and close.
Yeah.
In the World Series or in the playoffs. But yeah, knowing David Dombrowski, knowing how aggressive he is, I'm willing to bet that by the time the trade deadline goes, Jordan Romano won't be the closer for that team.
Well, I mean, that's
they'll have somebody else in there.
That's some heavy lifting trying to get, you know, a seventh and eighth and a ninth inning guy. Like you gotta do some heavy lifting there. So
I'm saying Jordan won't be the guy in the ninth inning. You can pitch Jordan in the seventh or the eighth, but I don't think he'll be the closer for the Phillies.
It seems like they need two guys, eighth and ninth innings. So that, you know, that's some heavy lifting. So yeah, it'd be intriguing to see where the Phillies go. Right, I mean, the aspirations for them are winning the World Series, holding the trophy in the air. If you're going to do that, you need to shut down bullpen. Like we saw what the Dodgers did. Like the fifth inning on it, the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Phillies do that? Can, you know, and I said this, probably the team that's going to, you know, beat the Dodgers and win the World Series, the MVP of the team might be the GMs.
Yep.
Making that right move at the trade deadline. So it's just, there's a bunch of teams in it, which is, if you're a baseball fan, that's what you want.
Yep.
You want everybody in it.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590 is a text line. The Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1. The three-game series is tied up. The rubber match goes tomorrow. We'll take a break and come back. Look at the Bet365 scoreboard. Take a look around the American League East. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, and he's caught him plenty, you know. Jordy's got a very unique fastball profile. It's kind of low slot, and it gets on you. So it's tough to hit. So I'm sure that played into it, you know. Again, it's a guy we're really familiar with and has had a ton of success. So probably, I don't want to say easier for us because we know him. It's still, he's got great, but I think it's probably, you know, helped Turkey out there a little bit.
There you go. That is John Schneider. Familiarity breeding a 2-1 win for the Blue Jays, a walk-off win over the Philadelphia Phillies and Jordan Romano. Alejandro Kirk, who's certainly seen probably more of Jordan Romano than just about anybody else. I'm just watching a replay of his celebration. That is very un-Kirk-like.
Yeah.
That celebration. He's...
He's been paid.
Yeah. But it's...
Good time.
It's very, I'm not quite used to seeing him show that much emotion. And he knew as soon as he hit it.
I think he thought he got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But he has to start running. Of course, by that point, you realize the game's over, but yeah, that's an unusual amount of emotion for Alejandro Kirk to show on the field, and good on him. Again, Alejandro Kirk, second walk off this year, third of his career. Time now to take a look around the American League East with Bet365. With Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game's being played. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. A decent-looking out-of-town scoreboard if you are a fan of the Toronto Blue Jays. Boy, this afternoon, the Boston Red Sox walking off the Los Angeles Angels on a 304-foot walk-off home run. Right around the pesky pole, one of the shortest walk-off home runs you're ever going to see, 11-9. The Red Sox, I have no idea how they won that game other than they're playing the Angels. But elsewhere, the Tampa Bay Rays are leading Texas 5-3. Tampa's got it going on right now.
Yeah,
they'll be 32-29, tied with the Blue Jays for second place if they can hang on to win that game. Baltimore and Seattle, that's a late start. They're scoreless. And the Cleveland Guardians did everybody a solid. They shut out the New York Yankees 4-0. So the standings are as follows. The Yankees are 37-23. Toronto's 5.5 back, one out of the wild card. They are 32-29. Tampa Bay will go to 32-29 if they hang on to that for that victory. Boston's 4 games under 500. They're 30-34. And Baltimore solidly in the rearview mirror, although they've won 4 in a row. They are 23-36. And if you worry about such things, the Jays' run differential right now is -9. So they're getting so close, Kevin. Getting so close to the break even.
You think it matters?
Yeah, I think run differential will tell you a lot about this team. Run differential, record against 500. I think if you get close to the trade deadline, yeah, I think it'll tell you something about this team. You know, maybe I'm subscribing too much to the theory Alex Anthopoulos is always talked about having when it comes to when it comes to run differential and reading what you want to read into run differential. It's possible I'm reading too much into it, but I think it's going to be a thing for this team. I think it'll I'm not saying that it'll result in the team being undergoing a teardown or anything like that if they're not at a certain point. But I think it could force the front office to make maybe a bigger move sooner than they might otherwise make.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you take that number and read what the team is or isn't doing just because of who's not playing. I mean, Varsho hadn't played a ton. Tony hasn't done anything. I mean, Vladdy's been sporadic. Like, it's just, you know, your best players offensively, they're giving up a ton of homers. Like, it's just, again, I'm normally with you. I mean, we talk about that a lot, which we should. I mean, Alex Anthopoulos is pretty good at his gig. Like, there's a reason why he's bringing that up, right? I mean, it's an easy way to tell whether your team certain times of the year is worth doing some things, the urgency of just what they're doing and what they're trying to have the outcome of the season turn into. I just don't know with the Jays how you do it because I don't know if the Jays are a good team, a great team, a bad – I don't know.
Ryan in Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Gentlemen, how are we tonight?
We are very good tonight, thank you. Much better than last night.
As am I. Basically, all I wanted to touch on today, it's nothing really like numbers-wise or harping on anyone. I want to be positive today. One thing I'm starting to notice that's making me very excited about this team is how much fun that they have together. And how much fun they were visibly having together. Like, the last time our offense was banging, we were the only team doing home run celebrations. We were having the most fun in the league by far, and that showed on the field. And it kind of feels like that sort of same feeling is in this clubhouse as well. So I'd love to see all the boys having fun together. Having fun is so integral to going far in a baseball season. And loving the people that you're playing with, it has to feel like a family. You have to want to play not just for yourself, but for the person beside you as well. So I'm loving the camaraderie amongst the boys. I hope that continues to go throughout the season. I hope even with the little sneaky ads we make at the deadline, those people mesh with the club as well. It's nice to see the Blue Jays having fun again, and it's nice to have fun as a fan again watching the game. Previously, it'd be like, okay, we go down 3-0 in like the first 4 innings. I don't even want to watch this game anymore. I don't feel like we have a shot. That's not the case anymore. It's fun. Like, I'll stick around if we're down 4-0 going into this sixth because I'm like, these guys can do it, and I think they also think they can do it. And that is so, so important. So I hope that continues. I'm having fun. They're having fun. I hope you guys are having fun. Let's let that fun roll all the way till October. Go Blue Jays, go. Huge win. I love it. Welcome back to Juan Romano. I'm glad we walked you off, buddy. Let's go Blue Jays. Have a great night, boys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Awesome.
Ryan, a little optimistic there.
I love it. He's a true Blue Jays fan.
But it's true. I mean, it's easy to when hitting home runs and walking off teams and having your starting pitcher throw 6 strong innings, that'll make it fun.
Yeah, I think
Ernie Clements. Wasn't much fun last night.
Well, I think Ernie Clements, you know, a lot of fun to cheer for. I think Kirky's fun to cheer for. I think Barger's fun to cheer for. When they're doing well, everybody's having fun.
Yeah, you're kind of going in the old Kirky camp all of a sudden there.
Don't cart before horse thing, okay?
But you're kind of, you know, I haven't heard that whole, you know, you didn't have to pay him that much this early.
Actually, I said it yesterday on our show. So nice try.
All right, 3:07 will be the first pitch tomorrow. We'll be back following the game with Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network and also on Sportsnet TV. So the Blue Jays, 2-1 winners over the Philadelphia Phillies. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Port Colborne and Welland. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.